Right now, we're talking about the Madison Metropolitan School District's behavior policy focused on keeping students in the classroom. Last year, the district adopted a new policy designed to phase out zero-tolerance rules and modernize the district's guidelines.
As with any new policy, there have been some difficulties, but supporters say the new policy fosters emotional growth and does a better job of allowing teachers and administrators to help students struggling with behavior issues.
We're joined now by two district employees who recently went to Washington, D.C. to share their experience with the new behavior policy. Nancy Hanks is the chief of elementary schools for the Madison Metropolitan School District. Nancy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
And Rob Mueller Owens is a behavior coach at Madison East High School. Rob, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Well, Nancy, why did the Madison School District want to implement this new policy?
Sure. I think our Board of Education really embraced about a year ago an opportunity to move away from what had traditionally been a punitive and zero tolerance based approach to discipline to one that truly embraces an approach that's based in teaching and learning. Our district had a really good history, I think, about the last 6 or 7 years of using an approach that was based on more positive supports and intervention for students. So some groundwork had already been laid. And I think we've learned a lot more in the past couple of years about the use of exclusionary practices and the impact, negative impact that it really has on students. It hasn't worked, and it has a disproportionate impact largely on our students of color.
And Rob, this is part of a broader national push that Madison is part of, and the two of you recently went to Washington, D.C. to talk about your experience. So can you tell us a little bit about what you did there and what you heard and said?
Sure. It was a thrilling experience. The White House convened, I think, 40 different school districts across the country who have either phased out zero tolerance policies and implemented what we call progressive discipline, where students are given opportunities to learn how to be in a community. So there were 40 school districts, about 140 people, and we basically discussed exactly what it is we're trying to accomplish, how we're going about doing that, what some of our challenges are, and what some of our successes are.
And last year was the first year, correct?
Yes, it was.
And how did it go? It was this first year with this new behavior policy. How would you say that first year went?
I think it was a year of both impact and learning for us. As with any new plan, implementation is always important to monitor, which we did along the way on a quarterly basis. But we did see positive impact. We saw a reduction of almost 40% in our suspensions, which really equates to reclaiming lost instructional time for students. I think if you look at that reduction, it totals about 1,900 instructional days that were recaptured for students, and particularly about 1,200 days of instructional time for African American students. And so that level of impact, I think, helped us to really see that we are on the right track and that this is resulting in positive change. I think it's also important to note that while we saw the reduction in suspensions and that reclaiming of instructional time, that our students, our community, our parents, our staff are also reporting in our climate surveys that they still feel a strong sense of safety within their schools, which I know is something that can also be a concern. So those were two major, I think, points of both pride and learning for us, in addition to what we captured about implementation along the way.
And you mentioned a reduction in suspensions, and critics have pointed out, again, this is just the first year, let's be clear about that, but critics have pointed out that suspensions for minority students have actually gone up under this new plan. What is your response to that, Rob?
Well, I don't have those actual numbers, but I will tell you that in my work at East High School, I did a lot of restorative practices with the AVID classes over at East High School, and one of the themes that came out was this feeling of isolation, not just in the hallways and in the classrooms, but actually out in the city. And so these students were really hungry for a sense of connection and community, and restorative practices allow us to do that. This is 1 year we've accomplished. We are learning quite a lot, and we will continue to move, but we're shifting a culture that has been in existence since Columbine. So we're 30 years into this, and so to do this over the course of 1 year, I mean, we really have to be patient, stay focused, and try to do what's right by our students.
That's right. And just a note, I wanted to make sure that we do know that it's the disproportionality in the data that we're still looking to move, but the actual suspension rates, particularly for our African-American students, has gone from 16% to 11%. So there is a movement there. I think the actual disproportionality is the area that we still have more work to do.
Now, you mentioned restorative practices, Rob, and for people who are not in the school district, we may not know what that means. What has changed? So let's say a student misbehaves in the classroom. What happens now that's different than what happened a couple years ago?
Well, there are a whole range of interventions that schools have at their disposal. As the positive behavior support coach at East High School, my role was to try to affect positive change in the culture of the school. And what I believe is that high school students really need to learn how to develop an intrinsic sense of purpose, a purpose-driven motivation, you know, rather than an extrinsic motivation. And restorative practices allow students to begin to develop that because they have a voice then in what happens. They're given an opportunity to explain what happened. They're given an opportunity to take responsibility for what happened as well. And that's where healing can happen.
And Nancy, as we wrap up, some critics have said, including a special education assistant at Toki Middle School, that the new policy disempowers teachers to deliver real consequences. What do you say to that as a proponent of this new plan?
Yeah, I think one of the things we learned is about really supporting, I think, our educators. It's not necessarily about figuring out what the consequence is that a student needs, but what's the best support to provide that student, and so that also the relationship between the teacher and the student remain intact. And so in the future, I think in the upcoming year, one of our main focuses is going to continuing to be really supporting our educators and making sure they have the best tools and resources. They're the ones that are on the front line doing the work every day in service of our students, and they all want what's best for kids, and it's really our job to really support them in that learning.
Nancy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Rob, thanks to you.
You're welcome.
We've been speaking with Nancy Hanks and Rob Mueller Owens from the Madison Metropolitan School District. They joined us to talk about the district's new behavior policy plan, which was implemented a year ago.